Open your Bibles up to 3 John, and we're gonna go through Abraham's blessing a little bit more. You're gonna have to use your faith. You're gonna have to use your faith for a lot of things. It's coming up. The days of the fence setters is coming to a quick end. You know, we've already got the report. The farmers have been turning in their reports saying we are in a terrible drought anyway, all the way through the Midwest, that we couldn't get the fertilizer we needed. The crops aren't going to be what we expected, and the food's not going to be there. In the natural. I'm telling you, to help you, God will feed you and take care of you. You're going to have to use your faith to get this done. Amen? And you're going to have to be willing to not know any of the answers. God will use a lot of different ways to meet people's needs. But you're going to have to step out in faith on this one. You know, we've never seen this. None of us alive have seen what's about to happen. But it's going to be a good thing, but you're going to have to hang by faith for a little bit. But I don't care what happens in the world. I don't care what anybody does. God's word is still the same. And he said he would never leave you nor forsake you. His promises will not change. Remember, Jesus said in the end times there would be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and famines and all this stuff. But God's word does not change, and he said that he would take care of you. But there's some things that we're going to have to stand on. Remember, in 3 John verse 2, it says that, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." That prosperous soul is something that's going to be very important to you. I mean, you're not going to have a prosperous soul listening to the junk of the world. You're not going to have a prosperous soul listening to the junk at the coffee shop. You're not going to have a prosperous soul listening to negative reports. Remember, what you feed on is what's going to grow. And what you put in your spirit is what you're going to produce. Amen? Absolutely everything belongs to God, and it is at his disposal. I want you to look at Psalms chapter 50, verse 10. This is kind of a cool thing here. We're big on branding animals out here. You know, we put our brands on and say, this is my horse, this is my cow. You know, we put our brand in it, said, this is mine. This is what God has to say about that deal. "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof." That pretty much settles it, doesn't it? They belong to God. He's blessed us with the ability to take care of them and tend to them and profit from them and enjoy them, eat of the fruit of it. But just so we know, it belongs to God. People get confused about this all the time. The livestock belongs to God. The tools belong to God. This church belongs to God. He owns absolutely everything. And He has freely given it to us with Christ Jesus. He's freely given it to us to enjoy, given it to us to minister to people with, to help people with. Jobs, He blesses the work of our hands. He gives us work so that we can earn money so that we have seed to sow. Did you know He doesn't bless you that way so that you have bread to eat? Because He gives you the bread to eat. He blesses you with seed to sow. Amen. Psalms chapter 24, verse 1 tells us that God created everything. Then He made man, Adam, and gave him dominion over all of it. Now, right there, look at that verse where it says, He gave you dominion over all of it. Gave Adam dominion over all of it. One of the biggest cop-outs in this world, and Christians say it all the time. They say, well, God is in control. Really? Maybe you should give Him a little more credit than putting Biden in office. I mean, maybe He did that. But I don't think that He was just allowing the murder of millions of babies. I don't think He was allowing the plunder of citizens around the world of their wealth and riches. I don't think that was His idea. Remember, God gave man dominion over this earth. You realize most of the big problems going on the face of this planet is our fault? Because we allowed it. We allowed it. Christians for years and years and years have been sitting in the pews wishing somebody would do something. They did. They did. You realize that one Satanist can go shut down a whole school? Go throw a fit and they'll change the whole policy for that one rotten little brat. Because his mama went down there and threw a fit. You know, whenever time that happens, there should be 500 Christians down there at that school board meeting saying, no, we're not putting up with that. Our kids go to school here and we're not going to have that. What's the big Hagee? He got after his church one time. He said, you will write letters to these senators. And they were having a big vote on something. Said, you will write letters to these senators. And he got these bags, trash bags full of letters to these senators. And he brought them into their office and said, here. There's, I don't know how many thousands of letters. And that senator looked at him and said, it's about time you guys done something. We haven't had anything to work with. You guys have been sitting on your butt. Do you realize the church should completely infiltrate every aspect of the government? And the church is sitting around agreeing with the Satanists that we should have separation of church and state. You know what that is? You know what the separation of church and state is? Keep the government out of the church. But we should be infiltrating every square inch of every courthouse building in this nation. Matter of fact, the local politicians should be very wary of seeing you walking down the sidewalk. Oh, by the way, when is the next commissioner's court meeting? The 15th? Okay. And Ron, do you know if we have a veteran service officer for this county? We do. We do have an active one. The lunatic? Oh, my God. Okay.
Dusty Rhodes?
Dusty Rhodes? They appointed him? Okay, well, we'll contact him then, I guess, if that's the...
Who's the sheriff?
Bill Kitts. Bill Kitts is the sheriff.
From what I understand, the sheriff is a huge part of what he is, the law in each county.
Yeah.
They want to get to know their sheriff, first and foremost, to make sure what he stands on. What did you say his name was?
Bill Kitts.
Bill
Kitts? Kitts. Kitts? Okay, let's carry on here. Just so we know that God created everything, that He made man, Adam, and gave him dominion over all of it. God made it all for His man, Adam. He gave Adam dominion over the cattle on 1,000 hills, over the silver and gold, over the world and the fullness thereof. In other words, Adam was the God of this world. Little g. This freaks people out when you say this kind of stuff. Adam was the God of this world. He's created in the God class. He was the little God. But Adam committed high treason and sold out to Satan. And Satan became the God of this world. Jesus, look at Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus, however, came to redeem us from Satan's power and dominion over us. And this is how he did it. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. That's the whole thing right there. That is what your life is centered around. Do you know that? Receiving the abundance of grace and the in the gift of righteousness. How do you receive the abundance of grace? I can't save myself. I need a Savior, and His name is Jesus. How do you receive the gift of righteousness? I was never able to stand right before God. I was never in right standing with God. But the blood of Jesus washed away my sins, and now, because of that, I am in right standing with God. And I qualify for all of His blessings because of what Jesus did. If it ever comes down to you, your talents, your ability, your good works, your good looks, whatever it is you're banking on, you just erased your shot right there. It's always got to be all about Jesus. Understand that you are in right standing with God because of what Jesus did. Amen? Now, the Amplified version of that scripture says that they shall reign as kings in life by one Jesus Christ. You realize that we are to reign as kings in life? That means that we have dominion over our lives, number one. You are to dominate circumstances. Dominate circumstances. What's a circumstance? Cancer? Sickness? Poverty? How many of you spent any time talking to those clouds a little bit ago? I do a lot. I said, you get over here and you reign on this land in the name of Jesus. You tell them clouds what to do. You tell them what to do. Some people look at me like I'm absolutely crazy when I say that kind of stuff. But have not we been told to be followers of Jesus? Literally, copycat Jesus? Well, did Jesus manipulate the weather patterns? Yeah. He told the wind and the waves to stop, to cease, be still. Why can't we just call the clouds over here and say, rain on this land? The better question is, why don't more people do that? If the whole town got an agreement on this, can you imagine what a paradise this would be right here? But we got most of them running around calling this place a desert. And some of them get mad at you when you tell them it's not a desert. They'll say, we got a sign out here that says Chinati Desert. I said, I don't care what you got. This is the highest area. You want to see a desert? Go to Wyoming. We got a great big one there called the Red Desert. And it's got great big sand dunes in it. And just for your information, you don't run 13 cows to a section in a desert. You run one. And sometimes you have to feed her. But people will fight you for their right to call this place a desert. They will fight you for their right to curse the land that they live in. Why would you do that? Wouldn't it be better just to see green grass growing wild all over the place here? God has given us the tools to walk in abundance. He just needs a little bit of cooperation from us. Poverty is not to rule and reign over you. You are to rule and reign over poverty. I was so frustrated. This last couple weeks had just been absolutely insane on my finances. Got to piles of cash, and I couldn't touch none of it. It was so bad, I had to buy $100 worth of diesel on the church credit card because I had no money. They literally drugged me. The guy drugged me to the pump. I called Clark, and I told him what I did, and I said, So my church check came in, and all the bills were just flooding in, you know, and stuff from the work. And it's like, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I have got an abundance of cash and I can't touch any of it. I was getting pretty squirrely. I told her, I said, don't even talk to me. I don't even want to talk about it. I was mad.
Don't PayPal.
Yeah, that's evil. That's evil. I still haven't resolved that issue. But God blessed me. I went up there and I was mad, and I said, God, protect me in the name of Jesus. Protect me. Cause right things to happen for me. Cause me to be in the right place at the right time. And boom, there was another abundance of cash handed to me. So I said, okay, just get this deal done. Get it transferred over to my bank account so we can keep working. So that's supposed to be done on Monday. It didn't happen on Monday. Didn't happen on Tuesday. So I called the guy and I said, hey, look, we got to talk about this, because this was supposed to be him. And he said, I know, I sent it to the wrong bank account. It was in my other account. Come on, man. Sometimes what we don't know we have, sometimes what we don't know we have can hurt us. But God is good, and he takes care of us in spite of ourselves sometimes. But disease and sickness are not to rule and reign over you. You are to rule and reign over sickness. We are to reign as kings in life by Christ Jesus, in whom we have our redemption. Look, Jesus called you kings of kings. He calls you Lord of lords. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. So, who are the little lords under Jesus? Your hand should come up. Did you know that you're a little king? Did you know that you've been made a king and a priest? See, that never happened. And that never happened in the Old Testament. You was either a king or you was a priest. Whatever you got anointed to be, that's what you was. But now, you've been made kings and priests. So as kings, you sit in your chair and you decree something. You speak forth what God said. And as priests, you offer up praises to God. You know, people are big on saying prayers of faith, and they say some really good prayers of faith, and then they just kind of let it stop at that. But the Bible says, you know, you got to watch over your seed. You know, when you have a garden and you go out there and you sow seeds in this garden, you don't just let the weeds go crazy. You're out there plucking the weeds, you're watering this garden, you're taking care of it, you're watching over it, making sure, keeping the rabbits out of it, and the deer, my horse. I heard about that one day. With a weed eater. She chased my horse with a weed eater. She's crazy. And my chicken. But anyway, that's what we do when we pray the prayer of faith. Whatever we're praying over, we release God's word by faith. Then you have to stand and watch. That means you're going to have to watch your mouth. Your confession is going to have to be the same out there as it is in here. Your confession is going to have to agree with what God said. You're going to have to watch over that seed, and you're going to have to praise God for the answer. People get it backwards a lot of times. The answer hits, and they praise God. Well, that's good, but you're supposed to thank God for the answer. You're supposed to praise God while that answer is on its way. And then when it hits, then you thank Him. You know? Sometimes when you're really active in the word of faith, you'll go ahead and thank Him the minute you get done praying, because you believe that you've already received it. You still need to spend some time praising God for the answer. Amen? But I want you to look at this Abraham's blessing in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 through 12. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. Now, you're not to be trying to keep the law. But Jesus did say some particular things. Paul and Peter and them did say some things in the New Testament that you're to be agreeing with. You're to be following along with that. You know, you're not going to walk around calling yourself a lowly servant. You're going to walk around calling yourself a child of God. So all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall ye be when you come in, and blessed shall ye be when ye go out. The Lord shall cause thine enemy that rise up against you to be smitten before thy face. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. You know, it doesn't say anything about any senators, who's the president. It doesn't say anything about what Congress is doing. It says he'll bless you in the land that he puts you in. Spend a little time telling yourself about that blessing. Spend a little bit of time talking to yourself about that blessing. You know, the first part of Deuteronomy 28 lists all these ways that the Lord would bless his people if they would obey him. He promised to bless their children, their crops and cattle. He promised to bless and protect them in battle. He promised to make them plenteous in goods and to bless them in all that he set, all that you set your hand unto. The blessing was all inclusive, but it was also conditional in the Old Testament. They had to keep all of God's commandments. They had to be holy people, not straying from him and seeking other gods, but serving him with all their heart. And the remainder of that chapter talks about the curses that would fall upon his people if they did not keep his commandments. Now, all those curses that talk about poverty, sickness, death, all that stuff, you're going to lose all you got, all that stuff. But remember, Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. You're not law keepers. You're not law keepers. You're in a whole new covenant. That doesn't make you, that doesn't give you a license to be lawbreakers, but you're not law keepers. You're not under the law. You're under grace. We're going to stop there. We'll pick it up next Wednesday. Thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you for continuously watching out for us, taking care of us, protecting us. We thank you that you meet our needs before we even realize we need them. We praise you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.